Galatians 6 and 1. The Lord really talked to me about this perhaps some time back, but it never developed into a sermon until now. Galatians 6 and 1, Paul said to the church, his letter to the church at Galatia, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," you know what it is to be overtaken? It outrun you. It overcome you. You didn't intend for this to happen. It just kind of got caught up in it. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." See, that lets you know if you're spiritual, you won't get overtaken. That quickly, just look at it. If you're spiritual, because he said, if you're overtaken in a fault, it's because you became unspiritual. "So ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Now here's how you'll restore him, because you're going to consider it thyself, lest thou also be tempted. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Have you ever noticed it said the law of Christ? He said, "Bear each other's, one another's burdens, and in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ." I want to talk about the law of one another. The law of one another. If you bear one another's burdens, you have fulfilled the law of Christ. So there must be a law of one another. Lord, I come before you this morning. I ask for direction, guidance, and protection, Lord, as we endeavor to go into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Perhaps the greatest law there ever was, of course, is a commandment. I don't know how you can command love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love's not something you command really to do, but you can go through the motions of the commandment. But love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then he said the second is likened to the first, to love your neighbor like the other neighbor, as yourself. Just like it was you. Just like it was you. And so this hinges on that same point, that the one of this greatest law among laws is this one. It is the law of Christ. Did not Christ take on your burdens when he didn't have to, but he considered it himself? When he looked at you, he goes, "That could be me." And so he took on your burdens when he didn't have to. And he said, when you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill what I did. So it kind of goes along with this love and love thy neighbor. It also, you know, he said, when you throw a party, he said, don't call your friends and your neighbors. We all do. Don't call your friends. He said, go find those that aren't your friends and those that you maybe don't want to make friends with. Call those that have no place to go and have a party for them. But we don't. We always call our friends and don't call so-and-so. I don't want them here. Paul says that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, that we should restore him. Those that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness. Now, you know what that means? Brother, I could have told you that was going to happen. Now, look, I'm going to help you this time, but this is the last time I'm going to help you. If you do that, that's not the spirit of meekness. Just leave me alone. If you're going to try to restore me like that, just leave me alone. Because now I feel indebted to you. But with the spirit of meekness, you go, brother, that could have been me. Brother, I understand completely. If it had not been the Lord, I'd have made the same mistake. So let's get up, dust off, let's start over again. Let's do it again. And if it happens again, you just call me. I'll be right here to help you. That's the spirit of meekness. And truly, that's the only way to restore somebody. You don't restore somebody by demanding them, commanding them. You restore some people with love. Do unto others, as the scripture says, as you would have them do unto you. What a powerful verse that is. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. I wrote down just a few things the New Testament says about this one another, and I'm using it in this sermon, the law of one another. Here's what he said, and it's just a few of them. Comfort one another. Forbear one another. That means put up with one another. Forgive one another, edify one another, exhort, prefer, be compassionate, have hostility one to another, submit to one another, greet one another, fellowship one another, and love one another. If you love one another, you'll fulfill all the rest of them. That's the great thing about love. When you really love something, you'll fulfill all the rest of these things. So Paul compares it in another writing to the Corinthian church to the body and the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. It's one body, but many members in the body. Now, if the foot shall say, now I want you to notice closely here, because the foot is talking to itself. Now, it's going to change in just a minute in this set of scriptures, and perhaps we've never really looked at it this way. But the foot is talking to itself. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, it's not talking to the hand, it's talking to itself. And the foot saying, I'm not the hand, so I'm not of the body. I must not be part of the body because I'm not the hand. Is it not therefore part of the body? Is it therefore not of the body just because it's not the hand, Paul is saying? And it's like saying, because I don't do the same job the hand does, I'm just not of much benefit to the body. I don't feel like I'm part of this body. And this could be what we do in church even, or even in the kingdom of God. Because I'm not teaching Sunday school, I don't tell nobody, but because I'm not teaching Sunday school, because I'm not on the board, I must not be nobody. Because I don't have a position, I must just not be anybody. And you're talking within yourself and condemning your own self, and really, we can't do without the foot. And you're not understanding that. Instead, we're looking at the functions of others. And the Bible tells us to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Not at all. Instead of looking at the function you can do, you keep looking at the functions others do and condemning yourself when not necessarily those that are the hands not saying to the foot, I don't need you. Not in this part of the scripture right here. It's you talking, well, I'm so low, I'm way down here. And that hand, it can be the highest of all things. I mean, you raise your hand higher than you can raise your hair, can't you? Some women may have, I don't know. I can't raise my hair as high as I can raise my hand. I can tell you that right now. But the hand can be the highest. The foot can only be the lowest. I mean, it's kind of hard. You got to still stand on one of them. So this mentality of I'm low and they're high, I'm not good and they're good, and that's within yourself, this turmoil going on. You have a schism in your own mind. And if the ears shall say, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm on the same level, but I'm not as good as the eye. Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body just because it's not, doesn't do the seeing? Amen. The comparisons that we make, we went from the foot and the hand to the ear and the eye. And even on the same level, y'all getting this? Even on the same level, there's still an unfair comparison. If the whole body, he said, were an eye, if I looked out there and all I see is eyes, the whole body, where would the hearing be? What good would me do to preach if y'all just going to look at me? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling be? Oh, my Lord. Who wants to be the nose? Well, we got a lot of nosy people. See, the tongue's the most unruly member, the nose is the second. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Amen. Too many people think, well, I'm just getting used. And when you get that feeling, well, I'm just getting used. Well, let me show you something. See that key right there? It just gets you. You see it, brother. See that key right there? It just gets used. It just gets used. And the key could say,
Well, I'm tired of being the key because all I do is get used. Okay, then I'll put you back in my pocket and let you stay on a chain. Stay in darkness. But it is the key that unlocks my house to everything I have. And so many times, well, I'm just getting used. It is you that opens the door to so many other things. Somebody said, well, I don't have any, all I can do is pray. It's prayer that changes things. It's prayer that changes things. Don't quit praying just because you feel like I'm getting used. If people are calling you for prayer, rejoice that they have enough confidence in you to call you for prayer. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he hath pleased him. He didn't take the ear and put it down here on your shoulders. And now some people care their feelings right here. Right here. That's where they care. God arranged the body. He tempered it. I mean, it's perfect. Even David said, how beautifully and wonderfully I am made. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And so this first example in this reading is it's people that are feeling sorry for themselves. I'm not the eye, I'm just the foot, I'm not the hand. And they have a schism going on in their own mind, a war in their own mind. Now he shifts it from you talking to yourself for you now talking to the other members. And this is what's called church trouble. Church trouble is when you start talking to other members. It's also called gossip. And so the eye decides to gossip in verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. This is when you start having these kind of divisions, you'll start having trouble. I don't care if it's in a church, in a marriage, or whatever. Don't tell me you don't need me until I'm not here any longer. But as long as I'm here, you can say, I don't need you. Well, just cut that foot off and then say it. And we'll see whether you need it or not. But don't talk to me as long as I'm part of this church or part of this body and say, we don't need you around here. Amen. He said, nay, much more the members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Let me tell you, those toes you got, they're necessary. You cut one of them off, even the little one, you'll hop around for a while. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow abundant honor, and our uncomely parts, our not so beautiful parts, have more abundant comeliness. In other words, the things we decorate to look pretty don't enhance you at all. You can make your face look pretty. It doesn't make you live longer. It doesn't help you in any way other than you feel, I feel just better about myself. Well, good, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't. It doesn't change anything. But you take care of that heart you got right there. You take care of that. And you feed your body what takes care of that. And guess what? You'll be rewarded for it. But you can't see it. It ain't pretty, but it's necessary. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. In other words, if it lacked, he gave it more importance. If it lacked in beauty, he gave it more importance in the body. And there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care, here we go, one for another. The same care, one for another. Why don't we, I shouldn't say that. No. This is the law of one another. We need one another. We need one another. God has tempered our body together. What good is it to have all these parts if it's not together? What good is it to have a puzzle with all the parts gathered in a box, but they're not together? It does not become a picture till you put it together. It's the law of needing one another. Every part needs the other part, or it's not complete. I've told you before, a gathering is not what it's all about. It's about a coming together. A gathering, I mean, creates frustration. Recently, we had this protest. You remember? Y'all saw the protest. It's a protest. And the protest, the protesters were met with a protest against the protesters. And I thought about calling y'all and say, hey, let's go protest the protesters that's protesting the protest of the protesters. It never ends. One's protesting, one's protesting against them protesting, so let's protest against them protesting against them protesting against the protesters. But if we ever have a time when we come together, write this down, it's real short. Together has no limits. Together has no limits. Even at the Tower of Babel, it says, oh, wait a minute, we got to stop there because they're a one mind and they'll do whatever they imagine to do. On the day of Pentecost, the reason it happened like it did, he said, all y'all go tarry for the same thing at the same time, and they were in one mind and one accord, and suddenly it came. When they came together, then it happened. Amen. We need to apply this principle to marriage. We need to apply it to a church. We need to apply it to a job. We need to apply it to everything. The law of needing one another and coming together. Because if we have divisions and strife, he said where strife is, there is every other evil work. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I've tried to get you to put in your noggin, agreed means the absence of greed. One can't be greedy and take advantage of the other one. Agreed. Agreed means I'm with you on everything we do. How can you walk together if one's greedy and the other one's not? Or two greedy people? For some people, God is just waiting on you to get your together. There is so much talent and so much things that people could do in the kingdom of God. They got it. It's all gathered up, but they don't have it together. And God is waiting for you to get your act together. Now, let me go deeper. Go deeper. The Apostle Paul was struggling as he worked with this new church, trying to get them to keep the law, but at the same time, don't do things that are not why Christ came to do away with some things, fulfill them. And they were still going, well, eat pork, don't eat pork. It was circumcision, not circumcision. And Paul said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But he said, if it's going to offend somebody, well, Lord, I won't eat meat for the rest of my days. It's not worth it. And so he's talking about, now he's talking about how do we balance this between what they used to believe and what we now believe. How many of you believe different than you did when you first started? Absolutely. I mean, you still believe, oh, okay, repent, I understand that. But there's a lot of things that my eyes have been opened, my ears got unstopped. The Lord dealt with me and I see it different. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me. All things. But all things are not expedient. They're not beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What he's telling us is that I can do all things under the perfect law of liberty wherein Christ has made us free. But it doesn't mean just because I'm free to do it, I should do it. Just because I'm free to do it. It's not, he said, not all things edify. The word edify means to build up. This is an edifice. It's built up, right? And so not everything builds up the kingdom of God. Not everything builds up Christ. Sometimes you do things that tears other people down. And so he said, unless it's building up, I'm not doing it. It's not expedient. Now, here's where the law kind of gets tough in verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That does not mean I'm going to get wealthy off of you. And it doesn't mean I'm going to help you get wealthy. What it means is I'm going to tend to your well-being before I tend to my well-being. I'm going to check on your stuff before I check on my stuff. This is where it gets tough. Because the Bible says to prefer one over yourself. Prefer one another. The law of Christ will reward you and I abundantly when we seek the well-being or the wealth of others before we seek our own well-being. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, which is us, others. And all the other things will be added to you. But seek that first. The Bible says that charity seeketh not its own. Love seeketh not its own. It's what can I do for you? I will suffer while you advance. It's okay. Because I love you. And I want you to prosper even though I may or may not. Christ so loved the world that he wanted us to prosper at his expense. You have what you have because of his suffering. Do you really know what a sacrifice is? A sacrifice is when you give up one thing to get another thing. That's what a sacrifice is. They would get the lamb, they'd raise this lamb up, and they'd give it up so they could get something else. It's an exchange program. And so Christ gave up his life that we might get the joy and the things that we get benefit from him giving his life up. So let me quickly give you one of the best biblical examples I can find about putting someone else's agenda ahead of yours. Do you want to be a good Christian or just a Christian? Is there such thing as is there a difference? No, there's no difference. Everyone that calls themselves a Christian should be a good person and follow what the examples that Christ put forth. So let me give you this biblical example of fulfilling someone else's dreams before you fulfill your own. You may recall Joseph. The first time we hear about Joseph, basically he's had two dreams, right? And both dreams mean the same. Both dreams mean that his family, dad, mom, brothers will bow down to him. And his brothers hated him for it, and his daddy rebuked him for it. Amen. And so they said, we'll see what shall become of his dreams. But we never see where Joseph tried to fulfill his dreams. If we have a dream, we're trying to make it happen. We don't ever see where Joseph tried to make anything happen. His brothers hated him so much that they took and threw him in a pit. And from the pit, the Ishmaelites bring him to Egypt and sell him into bondage. He ends up in Potiphar's house, but the Bible says that he was prosperous and the Lord was with him. And when Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and he was prosperous, he said, I can use him. He was not interested in Joseph. He was not interested in Joseph's God. He was interested in his own wealth. He was interested in his own well-being. If the Lord had not been made him prosperous, he'd let him stay in the pit, let him stay in the dungeon, that little rat. But when he saw how prosperous he was, he said, he knew enough to know that you stay around blessed people, you'll get blessed too. I've said before, even a bad weed will get watered around a fruit tree. If you just hang there long enough, you'll get some water. And so Potiphar didn't care anything about Joseph, but he wanted he was just going to use Joseph. Just going to use him. That's all he's going to do. Just going to use him. But Potiphar's wife eyed Joseph and said, lie with me. And he refused. And you know the story. Kept the coat. Word gets back to Potiphar. A lie gets back to Potiphar. What does he do? He sends the prosperous boy to the dungeon. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. The Lord was with Joseph. Put him in the dungeon. It doesn't matter. The Lord was with him. And even in the dungeon, he went to work for two other prisoners. these other two prisoners had dreams. And who could interpret them? Hello, it's the little dreamer himself, Joseph. And he begins to interpret the two dreams to the chief butler and to the chief baker. And he tells them the essence of their dreams. He said, now, when you get out of here, remember me. Oh, no, but they didn't. How quick we forget how people you get where you got and forget people that helped you get there. And the Bible says that on the Pharaoh's birthday, he had a birthday, and the chief baker was elevated and gave him back his job, his old job, but the butler was executed, all on Pharaoh's birthday. Joseph was helping others, listen close, Joseph was helping others with their dreams while his dream was still waiting to be fulfilled. I don't see where he was telling them, anybody else, about his dreams. Well, yeah, I had a dream too. Boy, back when I was there, and I went to the pit, and I know. He says, what's your dream? What can I help you with? What do you need? When he had needs himself. It's called leading and bleeding. But the day came when Pharaoh had his own dream, and no one could interpret it. And the chief butler came to his senses and remembered that Joseph had told him only God can interpret dreams. And he says, go get that guy out of the prison. They went and got Joseph. And they shaved him and gave him a haircut and brought him before Pharaoh. Poor Joseph gonna get used again. Poor Joseph. Pharaoh's not interested in Joseph. He's not interested in his dreams. He's not interested in his well-being. And here's Joseph. I'm just gonna get used again. But he doesn't say that. I mean, he could have said, now, Pharaoh, before I interpret your dream, now, let me tell you something, pal. I had a dream. No. Joseph's dream seemed to be fading away, and he was always fulfilling the dreams of others. After interpreting Pharaoh's dream, Joseph was elevated to be the governor and the second in command of everything, because there was going to be a feast and a famine. And Joseph had prophesied it in the dream that Pharaoh had. And he said, well, how are we going to handle this? And Joseph tells him, well, what you probably need to do, you need to get some barns, you need to get somebody over this. And he said, what about you? He wasn't caring about Joseph being the governor. He was worried about getting through the famine. So he just used Joseph. Let me tell you, the world don't care about you. Just use you. So he goes to work again for somebody else and their dream rather than his own dream. Joseph never worked on his dream. He worked on Pharaoh's dream. But in working on Pharaoh's dream, he was fulfilling his dream. Little did he know that while he was working on other people's dreams, it was fulfilling his dream. The law of one another. Until you work on another man's visions, your visions will perish. Until you learn to take care of somebody else's stuff while your stuff goes bad, God can never trust you with anything he's got. Until you put other people first, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. When the corn ran out in Canaan land, which was supposed to be the land of plenty, it finally ran out. They had money. Joseph's dad had money, but not corn, no food. And so he sends his brothers to Egypt to buy corn. And wouldn't you know that Joseph raises up his head, and who's in line but his brothers? And when it came their turn to get to Joseph, because he was over everybody, how much they got, when they got it, he was over everything. And when his brothers got to him, they bowed down to him with their face to the ground. And the Bible says, and Joseph remembered his dream. I just kind of put mine on the back burner. I just kind of put my life on the back burner. I just kind of put my agenda on the back burner. I just kind of put everybody else's stuff ahead of my stuff and just forgot about my stuff. And all of a sudden, whoo, there it is right there. But it wouldn't have happened unless he'd attended to another man's dreams. Are you understanding me this morning? If he hadn't attended to the other dreams of other people, he would have never fulfilled his dream. Too many times we're trying to work to accomplish our own agenda and our own selves and our own retirement and our own this and our own this, that we never fulfill anybody else but our own self. And the Lord says, that's sad, that's sick. Until you learn to fulfill the lives of other people, I can't trust you with my stuff. Why would I give you my stuff? Oh, you may have money, you may have this, you may have that. That's not God's stuff. Peace is God's stuff. Joy is God's stuff. Because you can have a lot of money and be on the fifth floor of St. Pat's Hospital losing your mind. God said, I can't trust you with my stuff till I see that you're tending to the other people's needs. The law of Christ is to first be fruitful or faithful to that which is another man's. And until we can be faithful to that which is another man's, God says, you can't be faithful with my stuff. Because he that is faithful and that which is least will be faithful and that which is much. And until I can be faithful with the earthly mammon, he said, especially in ministry, until you can be faithful and manage the earthly mammon, he said, how can I trust you with spiritual riches? Oh my God, I'm out of time. Joseph's dream only came true because he fulfilled the dreams of others. I feel like I'm talking to people that are doing that. I'm not getting on to anybody. I feel like some of you, maybe you just didn't think of it that way, but when you just tend to the needs of others, what can I do for you? Then the Lord's saying, what can I do for you? Amen. Lord, I come before you today. I'm thankful for your mercy and your grace. I'm thankful that you offered the ultimate sacrifice. You gave your life that we may obtain your mercy, your grace, your truth. And Lord, help us to always cherish it and bring it to others, Lord. And not always me, but let us do the same principle that you did. And in so doing, we will fulfill the law of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.